Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome again. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you again for this beautiful morning. And Lord, I thank you again for your grace and your goodness to us. And Father, I pray now as we open your word, that above all things, Christ would be in our midst, and that he would be honored and glorified, and Lord, that our hearts would be focused and our minds would be focused to hear, to understand, and to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning and that you would instruct us and challenge us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start out this morning in a passage in the Old Testament that is probably one of the most beautiful expressions of God's love that we find in the Old Testament. And I'm sure that if I was reading a different one, I would say the same thing about that. But this morning, I want to start out in Isaiah chapter 43. And in chapter 42, he's talking about the ways that he's had to reprove and correct and punish the children of Israel because of their constant sin and rebellion against him. And he's laying that out. He's helping them to understand and to realize the reason they're having the troubles that they're having, and that it's not just, you know, bad luck. It's not just that you're just got up on the wrong side of the bed, or that things are just going against you just because that's how life is. But he wants them to know, this is specifically coming from my hand because of your sin. But in Isaiah chapter 43, he begins in verse 1, he says, but now, after you've had this punishment, after you've come to see it as God's punishment for your sin, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Fear not. Because you have just gone through all of these things, and you may still have more punishment yet to come. You may still need to be corrected many more times. You will need to be corrected many more times throughout your life and throughout your existence as a nation. But listen now, he says, O Jacob, this is what the Lord that created you says, and the one that formed you, the one that made you from nothing. This is his message to you. Fear not. I find it amazing that the almighty, all-powerful God and creator of all things cares so deeply about whether his people are full of fear, about whether or not his people are afraid. And we're going to get into all of those things here. But let's go ahead and read on. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. Such precious, precious words to hear after you're, as you're going through and finishing up with punishments and being called out for your sin and realizing it and coming to a place of repentance, and now to hear your Creator say, I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. You are mine. I love you. And the thrust of it, fear not. So beautiful. Verse 2, he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Thy Savior. Not just the Lord God Almighty. He is. But it's more personal than that. As he says, your Savior. Specifically, you, me, your Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God saying here, in essence, the other nations around, I'm sacrificing them when I need to love you and to care for you and to take care of and guide and purify and perfect and demonstrate my love to you. Verse 5, fear not. Again, fear not. Why? For I am with thee. What more could you ask for? Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Beautiful, beautiful expression of God's love and care for his people in just a outpouring of his expression and his call to us. Hey, you don't have to be afraid of me. You don't have to be afraid of people. You don't have to be afraid of circumstances. You don't have to be afraid of all the terrible things that could happen. Fear not. I am with you. Jesus, in Luke chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 32, says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. And then in verse 32, fear not, little flock. Such an endearing term. Fear not, little flock. You're small. You're way outnumbered. But fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And this is a theme that is very, very, very common throughout the entire Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. Fear not. Fear not. God, the Creator of all things. Science is constantly discovering that the universe is far bigger than we imagined it was. And every time they realize it's bigger than we imagined, they start looking a little bit further, and it's even bigger than that. Every time they build a new, bigger, more powerful telescope, they realize that we haven't even scratched the surface yet. But the Creator, God, of all of that, all-powerful, almighty, all-righteous, all-holy God, omnipotent, says to you and to I, fear not. Fear not. It's just amazing. If you look through the Bible, the phrase fear not is 62 times. The phrase be not afraid is 26 times. And there's dozens of other variations throughout Scripture of do not be afraid. Why are you fearful? All again and again, God himself saying to his people, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't live your life allowing that to consume you, to control you, to influence you, and to direct you. Fear not. Fear not. It begs the question, why does God Almighty, the Creator of all, why does He care so much about whether I am afraid? Isn't that amazing? When He's got galaxies and universes under His domain, why is He so insistent again and again to remind you and I, fear not, be not afraid? Isaiah 41, verse 13 gives us a little glimpse. Isaiah 41, verse 13, he says, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." The basis all through Scripture of why He calls you and I, and on what basis He calls you and I to not be afraid and to not live in fear, is based on His character, His presence, His help in our lives. So truly, for us to walk in fear is a slander against Him and His goodness. What more could we ask for when the King of all says, don't be afraid, I'm walking with you and I'm holding your right hand? For you and I to say, oh, that's great, but it's not enough, I'm still scared. What an insult. What an insult to God Almighty. How can we be fearful and afraid when all the power in heaven and earth is with us? The basis all through Scripture for God's call to us to be not afraid and fear not is His character, His faithfulness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if I allow my life to be controlled by fear, in essence, I'm saying, that's not enough for me. In essence, I'm saying, that's great, but I still got to keep my hand on the wheel a little bit. I still got to worry a little bit because you never know. God knows, and He's in charge, and He's in control, and He says, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. If you and I were walking down some abandoned little street in the ghettos of New York City, that's a pretty scary place to be in the middle of the night, walking alone by yourself. But what if you had a big, strong, buff guy with a fully automatic AK-47 walking right beside you? There's no reason to be afraid anymore, right? What about the God of the universe, who no one can ever surprise, no one can ever get the jump on Him, no one can ever sneak up behind Him? And He says, there's no reason for you to be afraid. I'm with you. I'm with you. It's so easy for us in this life to lose track of that. And we begin to worry, we begin to fret, we begin to be fearful, and we're looking at potentials. And usually, it's things that haven't even happened and may not even happen, but we're fearful, and we're worried, and we're fretful. We forgot who we're walking with. We've forgotten who we're walking with. God says, I'm with you. What more could you need? Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. In Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 through 6, we have this beautiful passage that says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. the Lord. He is my salvation. Not just He purchased it, not just He gave it to me, but He is my light and my salvation. The very obvious conclusion is, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell, though a host, an entire army, should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. I have God on my side. How can I be afraid when He's with me? How can I be worried and fearful and fretful if I get even a glimpse of the God who has adopted me as His son and His daughter? How can I possibly allow my heart to get drug away in these things, in fear and worry and fretfulness? Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. This is the opposite of fear and being afraid and fretful and worrying. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He's on my side. He's watching over me. He's guiding me and protecting me and covering me. Whom shall I fear? When you and I allow our lives to be overwhelmed with fear and allow ourselves to get swallowed up in it, it's such a thermometer. It should be such a thermometer to us to realize how small we must think God is. What an insult. I'm with you. I'm with you. It's amazing to see how Jesus repeated these same things again and again to His disciples. I'm with you always. Don't fear what men can do unto you. Why are you afraid? Even in the middle of a raging storm where the boat's getting filled with water and they are this close to drowning. He says, why are you afraid? Well, Jesus, because the boat's filled up with water and you're still sleeping. Yeah, but I'm with you. Jesus says sleep is more than enough to protect me and you and to care for us. Fear not. He gets up, He says, why are you afraid? Why are you so worried? Why are you afraid? Do you really think that my creation can swallow me up? Do you really think that anything can destroy you without me allowing it? Without me realizing that it's happening and without me being in control of it? Do you really think this storm could arise without me knowing it was going to come? Do you really think the boat could fill up with water and I wouldn't know that it was filling up with water and still be in control of everything? Do you really think that I'm that weak? O ye of little faith. I want to look at another reason why God so cares whether you and I are fearful. Jesus said that He came to give us life, and life more abundantly, life that was satisfying and fulfilling. Fear is the direct enemy of faith and trust in God. Direct enemy. And we're told all through the Bible, the just shall live by faith. We see Jesus saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Your faith has made you whole. Seeing their faith, He did such and such. Faith is the essence and the bedrock of the Christian life. And if you and I do not have faith, we have nothing. And so fear, being the arch enemy of faith, is critical, critical that we do not succumb to it, and we do not allow it to rule in our lives, and we do not give it space, and we do not feed into it and follow it. It's the exact, direct arch enemy of faith. And God, as a loving, caring Father, wants what's best for you and I. He wants us to walk free from sin, free from fear, free from ourselves. He wants us to walk in His power, in His Spirit, in His presence, filled with His goodness and His joy. And you cannot do those things efficiently or effectively if you are consumed by fear. It's the direct opposite. You can't have light and darkness inhabiting the same space. You can't have holiness and sin coexisting freely together. You cannot have fear and reliance and faith and trust in God. Because it excludes, one or excludes the other. Either you're going to embrace the fear and you're going to doubt God, or you're going to trust God, and then where is the room for the fear? There is no room for fear if I truly believe that He is who He says He is. Because that's more than enough. Though a host should encamp against me, in this I will be confident. He's on my side. Whom shall I fear?
Amen.
We read in Matthew chapter 13 one of the consequences of fear and unbelief. Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it's talking about when Jesus was back in His hometown. And it says, He did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Did you hear that? Brother and sister, did you know that you and I, by our lack of faith in God, can cause ourselves to not be spiritually in a place where God can do the mighty works in and through and for us that He wants to do? Because of their unbelief, Jesus didn't do many mighty works there. The power was all there. Jesus was the same Jesus that had been traveling all over Israel doing incredible miracles. I mean, people were jaw-dropped. And yet, here in this little town, the very same Jesus, the very same Son of God, the very same power of heaven on earth in the flesh, could not do very many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What a sad state to find ourselves in. And that's why so many times, again and again in the Scripture, God and Jesus and the prophets say, fear not. Be not afraid. Trust God. It will hinder and cripple your life. It will make you weak and unable to stand before your foes. And trust me, If you don't know this for yourself already, you have got a lot of foes in this world, and they are powerful, more powerful than you are, and you had better be ready to stand against them. But you can't outside of God's strength. And God's strength, God's presence, God's mighty moving on our behalf is in proportion to our reliance on Him. Fear not, little flock. I want to hit a couple more passages that just point out again the same things and the same reasons. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. How can you possibly, if He's the one that goes before you, and He's with you, and He will not fail you, He will not forsake you, how can you possibly give in to fear and worry and be afraid? Fear not, neither be dismayed. If you find yourself overwhelmed by fear and it's crouching in on your heart, my advice to you is to ask God Almighty to give you a little glimpse of who He is. That'll fix it for you. That's the antidote. If you know the God you serve, you cannot be fearful. If you can possibly get a glimpse of who He is and His power and His might and His love, how are you going to continue on? Well, I just don't know. It's going to be close. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. We read here about Elisha. And the city that he's in is surrounded entirely by the enemy, who is there for no other purpose than to destroy him. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, Alas. That's why he's given up. He's throwing in the towel. He's like, Alas, my master, how shall we do? We're done. We're finished. There's no way out. They've got it surrounded. 10 men deep at least. What are we going to do? And he, Elisha, answered, Fear not. Fear not. Based on what, Elisha? I mean, open your eyes. Look around. Look at all these guys. They've got swords and spears and horses and chariots, and they're ready to destroy you. Based on what do you say, fear not? He tells him, he says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The mountain was full of them. You thought that was a big army? You haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet. Think of the size of the band that came to capture Jesus. And Jesus said, I could call down more than 20,000 angels if I wanted to. God's resources are not limited. Only your and my perspective an ability to understand and to realize and to comprehend the God that we serve. That's the only thing that's limited, our ability to understand and comprehend who He is. I want to hit two more passages real quick. Isaiah 41, verse 13 through 14. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You may be a worm. You may be just a little worm, but fear not. You know, a worm is probably one of the most defenseless creatures in nature. There's no shell, there's no teeth, there's no tentacles, there's no sting, there's no armor of any kind. A worm is very defenseless. And here he says, hey, Jacob, my servant, you're like a little worm, but you don't have to fear. I'm with you. I'm with you. So my brother or sister, as you go through this life, when you realize that you're defenseless and you're like a little worm, embrace it. And don't worry. Don't fear. God likes to protect little worms that are His. God likes to protect. He gets glory and joy from protecting His little worms. And I'm thankful to be His little worm. Fear not. Fear not, for I'm with you. Let's pray. Father, truly this morning, Your word is clear, but our hearts are so weak. Father, open our eyes as You did the servant of Elisha, that we might see truly and clearly that there is far more power on our side if we're on Your side than anything that we could possibly face. Father, help us to learn to rely and to trust and to rest in You. In Jesus' name, amen.